Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
At least run out the half without giving it back. Here's Daniels. Let's one fly. Going deep. Luke McCaffrey.
Oh! He's got it! Oh, what a catch! We've got another flag, though, so let's wait and see. Oh, my goodness! Luke McCaffrey.
That was the Fox telecast. Jaden Daniels throwing a 57-yard in the air. 50-yard completion to Luke McCaffrey. Home run ball that couldn't have been dropped in any better. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan, we are sponsored by the law firm Condori and Murad Estate Planning, Elder Law, Real Estate Transactions, Probate Administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I was texting with our buddy Wasim from Condori and Murad last night. He was sending me some of the details on our travel plans for Kansas City.
Oh, here we go.
We are getting ready for a late October Monday night football game at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs. Now, I'm going to pre-warn Danny, okay, because I can see this already. Darius, I need you to hear what I'm about to say. This is a pre-warning. I'm telling you exactly what's going to happen. I've never been to a game at Arrowhead, but I've been to a bunch of games at Kauffman Stadium. It's the same parking lot, same complex, getting in and out's the same. I talked to my buddy who covers the Chiefs about this week, especially for a primetime game. Leaving that stadium is one of the worst traffic situations in the entire sport, okay? So there's really no way around it. The only benefit is that for 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock games, people just go back out to the parking lot in like the tailgating capital of the NFL, and they just keep guzzling down ribs and beer or whatever it is and watch some football games. This is a Monday night game, so that's not going to be happening.
Oof.
So we're either kind of sitting around in the stadium or we're in the car. So I just want it known. I'm putting it all out there so that Danny's not just doing whatever thing you plan on doing as we're in traffic, leaving there, where you're complaining and rolling your eyes and angry. Maybe we could do some sleeping, Danny. Maybe we, I don't know what else you could do.
What else could I do, yeah.
Other than just, it's just going to be so much worse when you're just complaining the entire time.
Other than complaining about the situation.
But the guy told me yesterday who goes to all the Chief games, leaving a primetime game, bank on 90 minutes of traffic to get out of the parking lot. Basically, something like that. So I just need you to know that going in. And I don't know what kind of adjustment you can make to help all of our sanity, but just start preparing yourself. That's all. I'm giving you 3 weeks heads up for this.
Yeah, so you're borrowing from my southern cousin. I just want to pre-warn y'all, Danny's going to be in the red. Like, that's what it is.
Now, it's going to be about midnight. 12:30, 1 in the morning as we're fighting to get out of there.
Oh, man.
Is it better if we make you drive so that you're engaged and have to deal with that?
That's worse.
Should you sit in the back seat and you're just on quiet terms?
Put me on timeout.
Darius, how bad?
You can't have me drive.
Is it going to be leaving that stadium? If it's a two-hour situation right after a Monday night loss to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, if Danny's just sitting there making snide comments the whole time?
It'll definitely... what's the word I'm going to look for?
Sting
the,
more?
Yeah. Sure, let's go with sting more. It's going to be a lot. I can definitely see some insufferableness.
Yeah, just a quick shout out to Danny and Traffic. Just wear that, bathe in it, suck on it. Obviously, we put it on you guys. And just sit in the parking lot right now and listen to this post game.
But look, it could be a win. Jaden could have just had a banner night like he did against the Bengals. We could just rewatch the game on my phone. Watch all the highlights of Debo touchdowns and Bill ripping big runs off against Spags' defense. And we leave there and everybody's happy. Plus, if we do this right, we're going to have a heck of a tailgate situation. Oh, I guess we're not probably because we're doing a pregame show. We're on the radio. Depending on where we're at, maybe we could do a little tailgating when we get to the stadium if we have enough time. But yeah, we'll do radio. Then we'll get to the game. Apparently getting to the game, not nearly as bad as leaving the game because everyone gets there so early. This is an all-day affair for Chiefs fans. But yeah, so you think about being at the game, enjoying ourselves, watching football. The rest of it's going to be really, really fun. I just need you to get into the right headspace, okay, however long that takes you,
right,
for all of the traffic leaving at about 12:30, 1 a.m. in the morning.
Man. Whew, okay. That's a good morning. It's a little over a month away now, right? Give or take. Is it more than a month? Less than a month?
Way less than a month. It's this month.
It's a few weeks.
It's the 6th of this month. Yeah. We're all right. Three football weeks away, right? Like we're weekends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's today. It's actually 3 weeks from today.
Yep.
It's exactly what it is.
Because today's Monday.
Monday Night Football in 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
By the way, the Commanders play Monday Night Football, then don't play Monday Night Football, then play Monday Night Football.
Then they do it again.
Two times in 3 weeks. They are hosting the Bears. Then they have a Sunday game in Dallas. Then they're back on Monday night at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs.
Oh, and that Sunday game in Dallas is just America's game of the week at 4:25. That's all.
So a little national TV coming up for the lads. They got a stretch here that's going to determine how we feel about them going into the second half of the season.
Seriously.
But anyway, so just putting that on your radar.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing.
That's good.
Can we put to bed all conversations about Jaden Daniels' knee and the knee brace? Those should be over, right? After yesterday?
For me, 100%. I mean, I was concerned, and if you want to yell at me for being concerned, that's fine. If you want to make fun of me for being concerned, that's fine. I was here, man, just like a lot of you guys were when my quarterback that was very athletic, I was told to not worry about the knee brace. I don't do that. Don't worry about that thing when my quarterback, who is so splendid and so wonderful and a gift to us, is wearing a knee brace because everything's not that quite okay, right? I mean, you don't wear knee braces when everything's fine. You wear knee braces because something happened. And when I'm told to not worry about it, and you told me about that he was fine last year when his rib was broken, you lost your credibility with me, and that's fine. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to do the thing that you think is best. But I was going to be concerned. I'm not now. I saw the thing I needed to see. He looked like himself. He was explosive. He was quick. He was smooth. He was powerful, throwing the football, could step in. You know, there were a couple of moments where I'm going, oh, my God, why are you taking that hit? And even once when Tom Brady scolded him on the telecast where he, you know, cut back inside and probably fought for an extra yard or two. Cool that you got the extra yard. Thank you. But please don't expose yourself to that kind of hit where you're getting held up and someone else comes in and cleans your clock. Just go down, please. Stay away from everybody. But in general, thought he protected himself and was good to go.
Apparently, Tom Brady had a lengthy discussion with him this week about protecting himself.
Is that right?
Which we said it on the telecast like five times, which I find interesting, by the way, because, well, for two reasons. One, I thought Tom Brady didn't have this insider access to players to build relationships as an owner who runs free agency for the Raiders. It's kind of curious, right? Oh, wait, of course he has that inside access. Stop yelling at me that he doesn't. That's number one. And number two, Jaden actually, I thought, did a much better job heeding some of the advice from one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There were a couple of plays, to your point, and that's going to happen, by the way, especially when you're scrambling and it's not a designed run. There are just times where if you're running in the middle of the field or between the numbers, you're going to take a hit. There's going to be awkward, precarious ways where your body's contorted when you take shots. And it's what's happened when he's gotten hurt last year with the broken rib and this year with, you know, whatever happened in that knee that cost him 3 weeks and a couple of games. But I thought that calling the design run on the second play was awesome. I talked earlier about why I loved it, setting up Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara in the running game and some other things that they did. But didn't that just tell you right then and there they have zero reservations?
No, it did. I hated the specific call, like a QB power play towards the middle of the field. He's running behind the left guard after like a little counter action. But the idea, the concept of letting him run just to, I don't know if it's to set fans' minds at ease, but just to let the defense know, hey, we're going to be here, right? This is not a compromise type guy. Would have loved a read option look or something different, but beggars can't be choosers. But yes, the concept of that, to let you know, no. This is still a threat, by the way. You have to account for this. I thought it was smart.
And the way he moved on that play also said, this guy is perfectly fine. I know he lost yards. He got like picked up and slammed, basically. It didn't work. But you saw the explosive first step. You saw that twitch of, because it was one of the most sudden quarterback design draws, carries, runs, whatever you're going to call it, out of the gun that we've seen in a couple years, where the second he got the snap, they've got the puller coming, and he's getting behind to try to go slam the football, you know, off tackle, basically. And, again, play didn't work, but I just thought That one snap, it was the second play of the game, everything I needed to see. We just don't get to see that in practice. That's not it. Something they're going to show when the media is out there, when the cameras are rolling. But there, right then and there, you go, okay, Jaden Daniels is fine. So that's kind of when I put it to bed. Now, he slipped all over the place at the beginning of the game, and he ended up changing his cleats. They mentioned on the broadcast, sideline reporter said he had to go to cleats. He was wearing new cleats that he'd never worn before. I'd like him to never wear those again.
Yeah, now we know. Don't do that ever again.
Whatever those cleats were, let's just wear those pregame, but not during the game.
Let's have a ceremony where we burn them.
He could keep them if he wants. Maybe he likes them.
Okay.
Why does he have to burn them?
I just never want to see him again.
Okay.
I want to remove the temptation.
It's probably a way to do the second one without the first one, right?
Yeah, but
just don't wear them. He could keep them in his closet.
Okay.
But he ends up, as the game goes on, getting better and better and better. And I thought we kind of saw the old Jaden Daniels, because that was the discussion after the opener against the Giants was he didn't really play at his 2024 form. Understandable. The Packers game was actually just downright bad. It was quite literally statistically, in a lot of ways, his worst career start. They held him in the pocket. They didn't let him run. I know he ended up getting banged up as the game went on anyway, but all of the metrics from a runner, from a passer standpoint, it was when you total them all up, it's the worst start that he's had. To see him get it going on the road and against a top five statistical defense and a coordinator in Jesse Minter who has chops and is going to be a head coach, and that was mostly healthy. You know, you can belittle the defensive performance if you want to because the Chargers offensive line's awful and all the injuries they're dealing with, and Amarion Hampton, who is having a huge couple quarters, ends up getting hurt and isn't available as the game goes on or whatever. There's no real good excuses on the other side of the ball. I'm not telling you that every Charger was 100% and healthy and they didn't have anybody missing. I'm just saying that is the group that will finish seventh or whatever in the NFL in defense this year. And Daniels was the best for 2.5 quarters that he's been at any point this season. And you could drop that second half performance in last year and it would fit in perfectly, I think, with his fringe MVP rookie of the year season.
I thought so. It, as you said, slow beginning, which I understood. I thought it would be kind of workmanlike the entire game. Just because, again, the you had no preseason, no on the grass with your stars. You had no Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown. Zach Ertz wasn't a factor. I think one target, maybe two targets, but it was there was a miss early on a first down throw, I think, and that was that. I just didn't think you'd see Jaden Daniels just yet. It wasn't fair to ask it for him to put the cape on. And through the game, you could see him get more and more comfortable, more and more secure, kind of fell into the rhythm, and it was like the there you are, Peter moment from Peter Pan. Oh, that's him. That's right. That's the superstar. That's the guy that you cannot account for. That's the guy that you can't stop, who makes when you're wrong, he makes you right and breaks the backs of defenses. You got him in the grasp until you don't, until that fourth down is converted. That was the cheat code. You saw it as the game progressed. The overall numbers won't blow you away, but I think that was belied by what it looked like as the game went on. The first couple of drives, you know, it's pedestrian. It is what it is. It's fine. And maybe we're in for kind of one of those lower ceiling performances, knowing that you have to walk before you can run. I thought it would be next week, maybe the week after, you'd finally see him as himself. Nope. By the time, you know, that second quarter touchdown drive happened, there you go. Now he's himself.
So the question I want to pose to people then, number one, if you want to weigh in on the knee discussion, you can. It feels like that should be put to bed and never brought up again, short of another injury happening, right? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. But more largely, I think there's a better dialogue to have here, which is, do we feel like Daniels is back? And it was only two games. There wasn't any major concern, I don't think. But he played eight quarters of football that looked very little like last year. And the first quarter kind of matched those eight. But as the game went on yesterday, that was the guy that gave you the thrill of a lifetime and an NFC championship game berth and the magical run in the postseason last year. That was the guy that won the rookie of the year and messed around and got himself into the MVP conversation. Do you think that this is kind of a progression, not having been linear? Like, we're back. That yep. We can kind of put the flag in the ground and say, okay, speed bump start of the year, but this is the new expectation now, is that he looks like that again every single week.
I think so. And again, as long as he's not hurt, as long as he's not compromised. We saw what it looks like when he is and when he isn't. Last year with the broken rib, not the same dude. When the rib was healed, he's Superman again. I think so. And my point all along, my thesis about this team coming into the season was, whatever the reason, whoever you wanted to blame, whatever you'd like. all the rest days, all the off days, lack of time on the grass, lack of preseason reps, not having the joint practices with Baltimore, just the way the whole beginning of the year went, they were going to get off to a sluggish start on offense, and Daniels would be included in that. Then you add in the injury, and it was going to take a little bit of time. I think the time has been taken. I think he's him.
Pushback for me on that was his accuracy, and it could be all those same things that you just talked about that are the reasons for it, probably is. But you're almost lumping it in like it was a systematic issue and he was part, like, fell victim to it, if that makes sense, the way you kind of describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there were plenty of plays where there's open guys and he's missing in ways that he didn't last year. In fact, yesterday, it didn't happen as much as the game went on, but the ball that sailed Ertz, middle of the field, there might have been five of those, I feel like, all last season. And maybe the farther we get along, the more we forget the one little play here or there and we kind of think the whole year was perfect. But I don't remember, like, misfires very often.
Well, remember, his first throw of the preseason and the first throw of the first regulation game is like Rex Grossman, Jay Schrader,
right,
you know, cannon from 2 feet away throwing it out of bounds. But yeah, I mean, there were plenty of those things. It's quarterbacking.
Of course, it's not perfect. But I'm just saying the accuracy through two games was worse than any kind of two-game stretch at any point last year, which may have a lot to do with time on the field and practice and reps and not throwing in August and all that stuff. But those are not systematic things largely. When he had time and when he was in the pocket, he was missing stuff that he didn't miss last year. Now, I just took it as he's going to get this thing going really soon, and he just didn't have enough work this summer, probably. I don't mean practices. I mean, like, game stuff, and hopefully they do the preseason a little differently. Or they won't, by the way. He's so important. Teams do this all the time with Matt Stafford or other starters, where I will take two rusty weeks of you being a C version of yourself to keep you fully healthy, and by week three or four, you're cooking. And maybe this is what would have happened. I said when he got hurt before Mariota played against the Raiders, getting ready for that game, that Vegas defense was by far still this moment the worst defense that they've played.
Yeah, I thought that would have been the Cincinnati game from last year.
It would have been the coming out party where he goes 21 of 25 for 217 and two touchdowns and no picks and runs for 52. And it would have just literally been, I think, the two rough weeks and then week three. You had to wait a couple extra weeks because of the injury. So it might have been the rust thing, but the accuracy. And again, early in this game, I mentioned the Ertz play. There was a Jalen Lane throw. There were a couple things. But the one that got him going was that 3rd-and-16 dart to Lane. It was an awesome seam ball. From that point forward, it was like, wow, this is it. This is what I remember.
Yeah, you're invited to the Jaden Daniels
Decisive,
show.
Decisive. Yep. You know, quick release. Just made it happen.
And it's everything.
And some of the throws downfield to Debo, the touch balls.
Oh, yeah.
Over, like, layered over into windows over top of defenders were just perfect.
Yeah, touch throws, feathery, you know, whether you got to step into one, whether you're throwing on the run. Again, there should have been touchdown to Chris Moore that he didn't catch, which I will stick in my craw for a long time. But those moments, you just go, there he is, where he's playing at a different speed than everybody else. And I know Josh Allen didn't play great last night, but when it's going that way, Chris Collinsworth, actually, who actually made a great point, is like, it looks like what a dad does when he's playing with his kids. Where it's like, oh, you can't get me on this one. And you could do whatever. Except these are NFL football players, where they are trying so hard. And it's like they're sprinting, and he's just sort of scanning the field and sort of gently sidesteps you. Is that not really bothered, but you hit him and you sort of like fall off him. For Daniels, it's just sort of, I'm already thinking three steps after I've dodged you. I know what I'm going to do, but I'll dodge you first, but it's an afterthought. Whereas you're doing everything you possibly can just to get a fingertip on me. When he's right, it looks like that.
Let's start. Let's get to Daniels on the phones next. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Two-parter here. Are you ready to put all knee discussion to bed after the way he looked yesterday? We certainly are. And then secondly, moving forward, is this now the bar here? Did you feel like that was 2024 Jaden Daniels as that game went on? I thought the second half looked a lot like how well he played in his rookie season. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
How are you feeling? How's the leg feeling?
Feeling great. Everybody can stop talking on social media about the brace and everything. I am good. I feel great.
Jaden Daniels says, leave the knee alone. And after this performance, we're ready to. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The Commanders have scored 18 or more points in 22 straight games, the 10th longest stretch in NFL history. Question for you is, did you see enough from Daniels to feel more confident moving forward now that the 2024 version of him might have re-entered the chat? Lance is in Fairfax. What's up, Lance? How are you?
Hey, man. How's it going, guys? First-time caller, long-time Skins fan, lifetime. Man, I'm worried about...
That's your verbal reaction.
He's wearing a brace, man. That means that there's a weakness there. I don't think Cliff should be, having him do design runs, man. He's built for speed. He's not built for contact. I mean, you see people go down every day in the NFL. It's unnecessary. I love to see him moving around, but when he needs to, man, to expose him to the potential injuries, I think it's unnecessary. I think his problems earlier in the season came from overholding the ball because he wants to prove he's a little bit more of a passer than a runner after last year, and he missed his opportunities to pick up yards. I think that was the big problem, and that's how he got hurt. I think he needs to they need to stop the design runs and allow him to improvise when he has opportunity and show his talent. But, man, exposing him play after play on these design runs, it's just a matter of time.
Appreciate you, Lance. Thanks, thank you. So, a few thoughts on that. I disagree with you on the design runs. It's not like you ran the ball 19 times yesterday. You ran it 8, right? And of those 8, the majority of them were scrambles, as is generally the case. He scrambles more than any quarterback in the NFL has since the beginning of last year. In fact, I was watching primetime last night with Drake May and the Buffalo, the Patriots beating the Buffalo Jacorys last evening. And in that game, they showed a stat where Drake May is number 3 or 2, and Josh Allen is the other one, in scrambles since the beginning of last season with Daniels 1. And he has almost 30 more scrambles than those other two guys, just to give you an example. So that's always going to be the bulk of where his runs, attempts, and yards come from. And in fact, to that point, last year he led the NFL in scramble yards with like 600 of his 890 or whatever it was. Lamar Jackson led the NFL in designed carries as a quarterback. And I actually think the designs keep you safer, help you more, can be more dictatable to where you're at on the field and who's around you than the scramble stuff, which is where it's spontaneous and you don't really know who's where defensively and it's reactionary. And so that worries me a little bit more. That all said, I do really like the point he made. I do think the first couple of weeks he held the ball way, way, way too long. It was one of the things coming out of college that ended up not being a problem at all last year at all. We talked a lot on this show. I know one of my things was like his pressure to sack percentage and the fact that he held the ball and took some sacks. For the most part, they were almost never backbreakers because he would scramble around and get back toward the line and lose a yard or two instead of minus 10 or something. But I actually didn't see that a lot in this game against the Chargers. I did think he did a way better job of like scrambling or just getting out of the pocket or having that suddenness where he would just...
Yeah, knowing, hey, danger is impending, so let me make a move. Yeah,
But don't you agree that in the first couple of games, he held the ball way longer than he did just generally in this game?
I do, and I attribute that to a couple things. One, it may be the pathology that the caller was talking about, that he wanted to prove something, a la, again, I hate to invoke it, but Griffin, where he's like, I'm more Aaron Rodgers than I am great running quarterback. And it's like, okay, cool. Good luck with that. I felt like it was, you know, an offense not in rhythm. I felt like nobody's open. You know what? Like for Green Bay, you go back and look at some of those games. If you get that, you know, kind of the eagle eye view, they're running right where the defenders are. There was no space. There's no place to go with the football that was helpful. So yeah, he was holding and hoping guys would come open and, you know, moving around, et cetera. But so that felt to me like more sluggish offense than it was. He's just missing people and holding onto the football and patting it, trying to make some kind of special play. But I think the answer is yes to probably a little bit of everything, right? There's no one ingredient to make that stew where he was not himself through the first couple of games. But we saw it as the game progressed yesterday where the processing power of defense dictates X. I know my receiver's going Y. I know exactly what I have to do to get the thing that I want. I mean, that the play you brought up, that deep over Deebo Samuel behind the first layer of defense in front of the final layer, he bought just enough time.
Talking about right before the half
in
the field.
Yeah, slid around in the pocket, just up in the pocket, because he knows the guy that's going to be open here, it's going to take longer for him to get there than everybody else that I might be able to throw to right now.
The protection on that play and on the play two before it to Luke McCaffrey were both marvelous. There was another play to Deebo on like a dig or something, but he was like on the right side, so the top of the TV screen, they're going right to left. And this was in the first half, and Daniels did get rushed, and he flushed the pocket. And last year, I think he would have run at a 75-80% clip. Kept his eyes up, kind of just throws the ball downfield to a wide-open Deebo Samuel, and that little bit of correction from the defense to suck up as he started to run freed him up. And that's going to be the secret sauce. But it sounds like maybe the last caller, you know, is not a big fan of a heavy run influence from Daniels. And I disagree with that. I think if you take even some of that away, you're taking away a lot of what makes him awesome. And so I'm not. If your point is it's going to be hard to keep him healthy and have him run a lot, I don't know if that's like just 100% a fact, but I think how he runs and how he protects himself and how he gets down is definitely going to be the determining factor there. Lamar Jackson runs all the time and does not get hurt running that often. Like he has played pretty much every game for the last couple of seasons. Now, early in his career, when he took more hits and he didn't protect himself and he didn't use the sideline, it was a little bit different. He did get banged up a lot. But I think you can have your cake and eat it, too, if he's carrying the ball. If we're talking about 7, 8, 9 runs a game, that's different than, like, 16.
Totally. And I need an end to, like, QB power plays. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a, you know, think of that Cousins empty backfield play that Jay used to love to call, where there's five receivers spread out and it's, you know, Cousins. Yeah, that QB draw type stuff for a touchdown. Okay, I'm cool with that. But generally, you know, running like the counter tray when he's out of the pistol or something like that, QB power type stuff, I don't want those anymore. I'm good on those. You give me a personal protector outside and on a read option look where a defensive end is flat-footed and he can use the sideline as an ally, wiggle around for 5, 6, 8, or 9, no problem there.
Let's go to Ian in Vienna on Grant and Danny. Ian, what'd you make of Daniels yesterday? Is he back?
So if the standard is all-pro MVP type level, and my 10-year-old Danny is sitting right by me chiming in, if the standard is that, I don't think he's there yet, but I feel a lot more optimistic because I agree. The lack of preseason preparation has turned these first couple of weeks into the preseason, and I feel like he's working his way into game shape. So I do feel optimistic there. The thing that I am concerned about, like the last caller said, is I don't love when people tell me it's not a big deal to wear a knee brace. If it wasn't, you would be wearing it on both legs. Obviously, you're not doing that. So I think it is a concern, and I think it's preventative and kind of an issue that needs to be managed, if you will. But yeah, I think he's getting back, but he's just not back just yet.
That's a good call. That makes a lot of sense. To me, here's what I would say about the knee brace, Ian. It's either precautionary or it's necessary for like his health. And based on how he looked and played and ran and moved, to me, it is precautionary. You get what I'm saying with
yes,
that,
I
Danny?
Do. Yep. That's a very good distinction, by the way.
It's kind of Friday, not that you and I argued about this, but something that like you were like, he's wearing a knee brace. He's clearly not right. And I'm like, well, not necessarily. You could have hurt your finger before and just wear a splint because why not? I mean, in a precautionary way, I don't want to hit it on a doorknob. I don't want to redo something. And to me, watching him play, it felt like, oh, okay, so he's just wearing the knee brace just in case, kind of. Whereas if he didn't move like that or look like that, or if he looked somewhat compromised still, you could say was clearly not 100% healthy. If you watch that game and you never knew he hurt his leg against Green Bay, you would have no idea he had a knee injury, in my opinion. Not one single play would you have thought, oh, this guy's got a knee injury. Would you?
No.
I mean, to me, he just looked like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, my point was that there's so much unknown with it, right? And I guess my view was, I don't like just saying, oh, he's good to go. Now, it turns out he was, and that's great. I'm glad he was. But to me, the door was open, or the window was open. Whatever part of the house you can sort of reach outside a little bit was open to the idea that he's still not quite all the way right, and it was less precautionary and more necessary. I think that's a really good distinction. Turns out, just looking at it, it was precautionary. And I'm fine with that, by the way. Take those precautions. But he didn't move around like a guy that was hobbling or was injured. Now, who knows what it's like today, you know, after a flight, swollen up or otherwise. I have no idea that with the Monday morning after. But he looked really, really good to me yesterday.
Let's hit Paul in Centerville on the fan. What's up, Paul? How are you?
Happy Victory Monday, guys.
Hey!
JD is back. He's back again. JD's back. Tell a friend. That was the Jaden Daniels from 2024. I loved what I saw. And his best throw, the throw that told me he was back, was actually the drop by Chris Moore, which infuriated me.
Same.
But that was prime JD right there.
With yes,
the brace
was.
On and all, he's sprinting towards the sideline. He's on the run. He finds Chris Moore in the back of the end zone, throws a laser right in the basket, and then he dropped it. But you saw on there everything that you need to see, you know, to say this is Jaden Daniels from 2024. One of the things that I also loved here that I think it, 26 pass attempts, okay? I like that because it means we handed the ball off to running backs for 20 carries. And the run-pass mix, if we can do more of that, is what he needs to really be great. I don't like these wins where he's throwing it 40 to 45 times a game and the running backs are only touching it maybe 10. I don't think that, you know, that type of JD superhero is what we need. We need him being elite and efficient, and I saw that. I like the carries, 8 carries. But most of those were him being decisive, pulling it down, sliding, going out of bounds. Those are controlled runs where he's protecting himself.
And he did that very well.
Yeah, I thought
in
so.
This game. That's a good phone call. Thank you. A couple of things really quickly. So on the run-pass discrepancy, I completely agree with you. They stayed very, very balanced. After their early lack of success offensively, they came out, end of the first quarter, hadn't really sustained any offense or done anything, and it was the Bill show. They just started handing it off, and they went right down the field, and it worked very effectively. Also, how much easier is it to play quarterback in an offense where you're ripping off 7 yards per carry? I mean, you can't have a running game like that and not also chuck the ball all over the place because you have to start loading up the box.
Well, it's what part of made that when last year when they were humming, that Ravens offense so special and perfect. It's like, how do you not account for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson running the ball?
And it's
right.
Makes the lanes and the throws for Lamar so easy.
Absolutely.
And guys are so wide open. So if you go back and you watch some of the Debo stuff in the middle of the field, 8 catches, 96 yards and a touchdown. I mean, some of those throws are just, it's pitch and catch. There's nobody around him because they are trying to play the run because they can't stop Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who's averaging 8 yards per carry on the day and 6.5 on the season. So if they can run the ball like this effectively, his job gets so easy as a passer. It's the old Titans with Mariota and Derrick Henry, where like he would go 14 of 17 for a 196 and 2 touchdowns under Matt LaFleur. And you're like, wow, what a day. And you look back and it's like, well, it's a lot of play action shots, middle of the field, you know, guys running crossers and deep overs and stuff where nobody's around. It's the Shanahan thing.
Yep.
You know, it's read option, pulling at the mesh point, linebackers suck up, running drift in the back.
That 50 series drift play.
It's over and over and over again. And so I thought, you know, it's not to take away from him. He made some ridiculous throws and plays too. The touchdown to Debo at the end, the play that was dropped by Moore, the near touchdown to Debo at the goal line that was broken up. There was some awesome stuff he did. But there was a lot of plays where it's just like, no wonder why Marcus Mariota looked really good for 2 weeks.
Precisely.
When you're ripping off 6 yards per carry and you're just making throws, yeah, Mariota was playing at a fringe Pro Bowl level too. And so now you add him and everything's just a little bit more explosive, yeah. A little bit better, a little bit more arm strength. And it should be really good.
I overuse this analogy, but to me, it is like boxing, where the running game, if effective, is that gut punch. You get so tired of getting hit there, knocks your wind out. It's depressing. It's miserable. It's not fun. Everyone's got to be assignment sound, and everyone's got to be, you know, in their gaps, taking on contact, taking on the blockers, shedding this guy, doing this, and it's painstaking. It's a pain in the butt. There's nothing sexy about it. You can force a fumble, yeah, but it's the passing game where the big play can happen, the sack fumble, the interception, the tip pass, all those great things that get you on highlights, and you get tired of getting punched in the gut, and that's when that pass can kill you. And that's what's happening here with this, or that's what happened yesterday after the middle of the second quarter. That's what the offense was doing.
And that's my answer. I think Daniels is about to go on a heater, and I think he is going to string a bunch of gems together, because I don't know how you wouldn't, number one, when you're as talented as him, but more importantly, when you're running the ball like this. This team is as good a rushing team as there is in the league right now. And the only way you're going to be able to slow them down is by stacking up the box, and then you're going to get killed behind you. I really believe that, and I think he's accurate enough in those windows to make it happen. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Daniels' performance getting right against the Chargers back in California. He had two suites full of friends and family at the game to watch him yesterday. We'll also try to fit in a double play next on Grant and Danny.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We'll get back to your thoughts on Jaden Daniels' bounce back effort against the Chargers. Looks like number five is back to his 2024 ways. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's squeeze in a quick double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal and a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. I will use my double play to just do some house cleaning here for the Grant and Danny radio program because I am a team guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wednesday, City Tap House in D.C. ahead of the Caps season opener. 7 p.m. puck drop against the Bruins. We're going to be broadcasting live just a couple blocks from the arena in D.C. at City Tap House from 2 to 6:30. So you can come on out if you're a Caps fan going to the game and party with us before you go over to watch, hopefully, a season opening win. Friday, we are going to be out and about for a field trip Friday. We're back at Char Bar and Reston at the J.W. Merritt. That's going to be a hell of a show, and that is a delicious, wonderful bar. I'm already dreaming about all of the delicious, wonderful things we will be eating at said bar. Char Bar, if you didn't come to the last one, we're classing up the joint. It's very elegant.
But we have chocolate footballs, dude.
All are welcome. Wear your T-shirts and your jerseys and your gear, and come on out and sit at the bar and kick it with us. It's a really, really cool spot at the brand-new, beautiful JW Marriott out in Reston. So we'll be there on Friday. And remember, coming up at 4, we've got tickets all week long at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz to My Chemical Romance. My brother is smiling somewhere. That is his one-seed band, MCR. So we're giving those tickets away at 4 right here on Grant and Danny, about an hour and 10 minutes away from Jay Gruden joining us at 5.
Super quick, DP.
Go and hit the button, Darius.
Go! Hit it!
Now, the good thing about that, the Darius hitting that button, is how efficient it was.
The quickness.
How quickly he did it and how there was no hesitation or awkwardness or dead air.
I heard an oh bleep from the other room.
Yeah. Well, I can see him.
Uh-huh.
I You can't. You're right. The back of your head
out
is
out of
to
the
him.
Peripheral, yeah.
So there's times where he's like hovering right over the screen where he like the computer that he has to click. And then there's times where he's on another computer, which is not quite across the room, but it's like 3 feet away. And so you did a thing where you're like, quick, what? And he was at the other computer, and I knew this is bad.
This is Panic at the Disco time.
And then Darius couldn't have handled it worse because he tried to click something, but he clicked the wrong thing.
Oh, no.
And then he started panicking.
This is Joe Panic.
He looked like Jake Browning down by 11. Like, it did not go well. He's just trying to get you to do it.
The Phillies are offering their own 999 challenge. I actually love stuff like this. Now, I hate the Phillies and hope they lose every game and that their fans are sad for the rest of their natural lives. But 999, that's cool. That's the baseball trend. You get like, you know, the dude bros that are in drinking shape to handle it. And people have, you know, gotten sick and don't look so hot, but whatever. They're doing their own version. And it's for $75, which is a pretty good deal when you consider all the different things they give you. It's quote unquote fun size hot dogs and smaller beers because they don't want people like
passing out. They're not really trying to get everyone just passing out into the seats.
No, but it's a bit. And you've got a little scoreboard that they give with you. It's like they lean into the promotion, which I actually think is awesome.
So it's like wiener dogs. You know, they give you those little like appetizer cocktail hot dogs or something.
So it's not quite that small. I'll show you the picture. It's hard to tell the scale specifically here.
Yeah, just let's get the size of the hot
dog. But see that.
That's a good size hot dog.
It's
there. That's how big is
that? I think it's above average.
Yeah.
It depends on average.
About 5.5-inch hot dog.
Who you're asking about.
That's a giant hot dog.
Average is. The point of the story is the beers are on the smaller side, so are the hot dogs, but it makes it manageable for like the regular person maybe to be able to do it instead of like prime drinking shape 22-year-old just graduated from his fraternity where he's been, you know, hammering beers for from dawn till dusk for years. But they're leaning into the thing. The thing that makes that's popular that's going around. I like when people do that.
Yes.
That's all. That's what I got.
I like that double play. Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill on Grant and Danny. Wants to talk Jaden Daniels. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I want to say I agree with you 100% about precautionary from the looks of the game. It looks like his the brace was a precautionary, so I think he is back. But I also wanted to give props to I do believe this is the first time he's played behind the offensive line since they put Chris Paul and Wiley or Allegretti at guard and benched the other two. So it showed that him having the same amount of time that Mariota had in those two games, he was able to get back to himself, being able to read the defenders.
It's a good observation. I don't think that, honestly, that's the reason why he looked better is because of the guard play. Is it a hair better at left guard, maybe, going from Coleman to Paul? Well, it's got to be, or else he wouldn't still be inactive. So there's something to that. But I don't remember a whole lot of times, frankly, watching Jaden Daniels early on where I'm going, man, if they were just playing better at guard, maybe that ball comes out. But, yeah, it can't hurt that their offensive line is certainly playing some of its best football, and specifically in the run game, they're just mauling dudes. Let's go to Saeed in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up?
Hey, guys. I obviously loved his performance, but I was going to nerd out a little bit on the actual injury in the brace as somebody who has had that a million times. And also my doctor was Alex Smith's doctor after his injury. So I've had every injury in the book to both of my legs, quad ruptures, the whole nine yards. So I was just going
to, what are you doing to get all these injuries?
Don't say pickable, really hard at them.
You're just trying your best.
Yeah, just trying my best. I've ruptured quad and patellar tendon in both legs. I've ruptured and torn ACL, MCL, PCL, every CL you can imagine.
Do you play sports? Like, what is the matter with these injuries?
Yeah. Actually, I originally was a power weightlifter as a teen and young adult. So I had some leftover injuries.
Wow.
From that. But I was going to say, just a little note, you said, is it precautionary and necessary? It's actually both. In this situation, and I wanted to explain very quickly.
Seconds, because this is not a medical journal.
I got you exactly. Yeah. So, what it is what people think is that when you sprain, it's really a stretch or tear. It's not like a bruise. And what they're doing with the brace is designed specifically so you don't do certain movements that would then make the recovery impossible. It's like glue. If it doesn't glue for 10 minutes and you tear it at 5, you don't just put it back on and for 5 minutes it's done. It needs to now go through the whole process of gluing again. So they're making it so that he can't do certain motions because it will continue that, and it would set back his recovery, which would cause inflammation and make it so it's no longer him. If he can move it, it won't move because the inflammation will lock up his knee, and that's why they have him wearing the brace.
Sounds smart. It makes perfect sense to me. My goal for everyone is to never get hurt so much that you sound like a doctor. I mean, that guy knows way too much just based on his all the injuries, but thank you for the call.
Yeah, that's smart stuff. And it sucks that all those injuries are happening to you. But yeah, that is funny that you mentioned that, where it's like you go through something and they go, you become an expert of it because they tell you everything they're going
to
do.
My Chemical Romance tickets as soon as we return, plus your Beltway Blitz. We got Jay Gruden at 5 on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.